from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. The Grand Princess cruise ship docked at the Port of Oakland yesterday and began disembarking passengers to transport them to military sites for coronavirus testing and quarantine. At least 21 people on board the ship have confirmed cases of the virus. At 9, we'll discuss the latest. Then at 9:30, Washington is grappling with how to help workers and businesses taking a financial hit from the spread of the novel coronavirus. We'll get the latest on the economy, the markets, and fears that the United States is headed for a recession. Join us next after this news. Welcome to Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. The Grand Princess cruise ship docked at the Port of Oakland yesterday after floating offshore since Wednesday with 19 crew members and two passengers aboard who tested positive for the COVID-19. The ship's more than 2,400 passengers are expected to complete disembarking by the end of today and will be sent to one of several federal military facilities for medical screening and a 14-day quarantine. Meanwhile, Santa Clara County reported its first coronavirus death yesterday as officials announced a ban on all gatherings of more than 1,000 people. We're going to get the latest on the coronavirus outbreak in California. Joining me now is Anita Chabrier, staff writer for the Los Angeles Times, and welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me on.
Glad to have you. Let's just begin by having you tell us about the disembarking. It's supposed to be pretty much going along smoothly for the most part?
From what we've heard so far, talking to some people who are on the boat and the official word coming off, it has gone fairly smoothly. We've heard it's a little bit delayed. It was planned to be about a 3-day operation. They took people off the ship yesterday who had immediate medical needs, not always related to coronavirus, but anyone who needed treatment for a variety of conditions. And they also took off a lot of foreign national passengers, a number of Canadians who were flown home on a charter flight last night.
This was 6 Canadians who were confirmed cases, right?
Actually, 6 Canadians who were confirmed cases, but there were, I think, about 230, a little bit more than that, Canadians on the ship, and they have been sent to a military base outside of Ontario.
So the sickest were essentially taken off first, and those were followed by families with children?
You know, we're not sure about families with children. We haven't gotten a lot of clarity from official sources about who was taken off the boat. So really what we know about who came off, a lot of it is from people on the ship speaking to us.
Do we know about crew members? Because they were quarantined on the ship, weren't they?
Crew members will remain on the ship. So there's about 1,100 crew members. Most of them are foreign nationals. There's a number of crew members from the Philippines and from Russia, we understand. And all of those crew members will remain on the ship. The ship will leave the Port of Oakland, and we're a little unclear about where they will go or what their quarantine will be like.
We're talking, by the way, with Anita Chabrier. She's a staff writer with the Los Angeles Times and has been covering what's going on with the Princess cruise ship, but also covering generally what's going on with coronavirus. And I want to get to that in a moment with you, Anita. But at this point, what do we know in terms of the isolation of those on the ship as opposed to the population? I mean, there's certainly been a great deal of concern, particularly you even wrote about it in your articles about West Oakland racism and the like, and why Oakland as the port of authority here.
I think we'll probably get more clarity about those conversations and why Oakland was ultimately chosen. I think there's some hard reasons. You know, it's a big ship, and there's only so many ports where it could come in. And so I know that was absolutely a factor. Where can they actually bring this cruise liner in? But then there is also a number of people who are concerned that it came into Oakland where, you know, the population is not quite as wealthy as that of San Francisco. And there are questions about, was that fair? I will say that Mayor Libby Schaaf, the mayor there, asked some really tough questions and was really very forthright about this. But at the end of the day, the statement she's given was that she felt that it was the right thing to do, and she felt that the precautions were in place to protect Oakland from it. And so she was willing to be on board with letting this happen.
We may hear from Oakland citizens on that, but I'm wondering at this point if you could give us a general picture, because it's continuing. The coronavirus is continuing to spread, and they're cutting out public events, for example, in Santa Clara, as we mentioned in the introduction, and there are more cases.
We are going to see more and more cases in the coming weeks. There is community spread. I don't think that anyone should be surprised by that. You've seen now in Los Angeles, we've had our first case of community spread. There will absolutely be more. And so what you're seeing now with the canceling of these events is really the best practices that were learned from looking at places like Italy and China, which is to be proactive, to try to slow that spread down enough that we have the medical capabilities to address it. So it's not really necessarily about stopping the spread. We know it's going to happen. It's about slowing it down enough that we can handle it.
Well, in terms of government response to this crisis, let's just talk for a moment with you about what happened with the ship and President Trump. I mean, he was talking really about keeping them all aboard, wasn't he?
That was his comment, absolutely, at one point. And there was a lot of frustration and anger from those on the ship, as well as their families, about that statement, about keeping them on the ship.
Well, what I'm going to do now is open our phone lines. We're spending this first half hour, as I said, with Anita Chabrier, and she is a staff writer for the Los Angeles Times and has been covering the outbreak and really probably can answer some of the questions you have that are most immediate to you. We do want to hear from you, and we do want to hear your response. We're talking about the Grand Princess docking in Oakland. I'd like to hear what listeners have to say about that and about crew and passengers being quarantined for coronavirus. If you have questions about anything related to that, or if you simply like to join us, you can do so now by calling us at our toll-free number. The number to call is 866-733-6786, and please feel free to be part of the program. The number again for your calls, toll-free, is 866-733-6786. Excuse me, or get in touch with us on Twitter and Facebook. We're at KQED Forum, or email any questions you might have to forum@kqed.org. And Anita, can you run down Santa Clara for us now, which is really, in many ways, at the center of the storm?
Well, Santa Clara, the last we heard, they had 43 confirmed cases and one more death yesterday from community spread. And so Santa Clara has taken the extraordinary step of actually issuing a legal order barring events, gatherings of more than 1,000 people enforceable by their sheriff. That is really one of the first major actions taken by a municipality here in the United States to really try to get a hold on this. The San Jose Sharks have agreed to go by that order. So you're going to see really cancellation of a ton of events. I expect it to be not just those that are over 1,000, but I think that you'll see responsible organizations sort of taking that to heart and canceling things that are even smaller.
And you've been talking, I know, to a lot of public health officials. They've been particularly emphasizing social distancing, but you've heard a lot about healthcare facilities being, the concern, the anxiety, they're being overrun.
This is really the number one concern that we should all be thinking about and really planning for. Especially, you look at something like Los Angeles, where you think, we have all these world-class hospitals. We have, dozens of them. If you look at the surrounding areas, we have thousands of doctors and thousands of nurses. It could never happen here. We'll always have capacity. But what you're seeing in Italy is that if there isn't containment, if it does spread quickly, those facilities can actually come under great pressure much quicker than you realize. And if you have one doctor exposed, then that doctor is taken out of the mix, right? So if you have someone coming in and it forces a quarantine, then you're losing all those medical professionals. So we really have to be so careful with our medical facilities to protect them and make sure that they have the protections and the capacity to stay on top of this.
Do you have a bead on what's being done, or particularly with respect to our resources, about the thousands of homeless people who are in big cities and really throughout the state?
This has been a conversation that we've been tracking since the start. So yesterday, San Francisco actually came out with some proactive measures where they're actually going to try to address the homeless population. We haven't. We know that LA has been planning for it. They've held some meetings. There are some discussions. but they haven't necessarily gone out to that community yet that I know of, and that's something we'll circle back and check on. But it's definitely a concern to everyone because obviously, and again, when you talk about medical systems, if the coronavirus was to reach some of our larger encampments, that is instantly not only a very great risk for a vulnerable population with a lot of underlying medical conditions that we should be concerned about, but presents a real pressure on the medical system then that has this large influx of patients.
Again, if you just joined us, Anita Chabria is with us, and she is a staff writer for the LA Times. And let's go to your calls. Let's begin with Manuel, who's joining us from Sacramento. Good morning.
Oh, good morning.
Yes, sir. You're on the air.
Oh, fantastic. My question is I really don't understand the science behind the coronavirus and why it is so much worse than a normal flu or a normal virus or like the SARS virus that happened in the past. And I feel like that's where I'm really lacking in information. I wonder if that could be touched on.
Yeah, help us clarify that. I certainly hear that question that Manuel's bringing up here from a lot of people, Anita.
I will give you my best on that. Again, I am not a medical doctor, but I will tell you that what the experts are telling me. The number one thing is that this is not a flu. So this is not an influenza. This is a coronavirus. They're actually completely different things, and they behave differently, and they have sort of different ways that they transmit, how much they can transmit through community. So the coronavirus, every one person that gets it, we think 3 to 4 people, they pass it to 3 to 4 people. So it has a higher transmission rate than something like influenza. And right now, it has a higher fatality rate. There's a lot of controversy about exactly what that fatality rate is. It has gone up to as much as 3% in some studies out of China, and other places we've seen it be as low as 0.5%.
We still need more data about numerators and denominators before we can really judge that.
Exactly. But we do know it is especially deadly for an older population and those with underlying medical conditions. So I think what differentiates this from a flu is, one, we can't vaccinate against it. We can't stop the spread other than by social distancing and these kinds of measures. Two, it passes to a larger number of people if you have it. And three, it can be much more severe and deadly for a certain portion of the population.
Let me thank Manuel for his call. We'll get to more of your calls in just a moment. But I'm wondering, Anita, what do we know about schools so far? You're in Sacramento. Elk Grove Unified School District has actually canceled classes after a student tested positive for the virus. Can you give us a picture?
Elk Grove actually took the proactive measure of canceling before the student tested positive.
So
two members of the student's family had tested positive, and Elk Grove took the measure of canceling the entire district, which was very controversial. And then yesterday it came out that an elementary-age child in that family did test positive. So I think that, you know, you are going to see more school closures. Children are not as susceptible to serious cases of coronavirus. We've seen very few deaths of children. But that actually presents a different kind of risk because it could be that kids are carrying the virus with very, very mild or no symptoms and then taking it back to more vulnerable populations like grandparents or parents. And so there really is a very big benefit in slowing the virus even in populations that aren't necessarily at risk of dying from it. It's that spread that they're trying to control.
And a quick question from a tweet from John who wants to know, does Santa Clara gathering ban include workplaces, perhaps with large cafeteria?
Unclear. A cafeteria would be a really good question. I would imagine that you're going to see a lot of cafeterias closing, but I think the order is more aimed at things like sporting events and that type of thing. But across the board, you are seeing companies of their own volition tell people to work from home while this is going on.
Let me get some more callers on here, and we bring Emily on. Emily, good morning.
Good morning. I just was wondering if Ms. Chabria could speak to what's being done for the federal and state workers who are processing the people coming off the Grand Princess to sort of prevent them from contracting the virus, picking it up, maybe staying in Oakland and spreading it elsewhere. Just information about that.
Anita Spreer.
I think that's a really great question. And I think the answer is that we have assurances, but we haven't seen the actual details of that. And that's a place where we definitely do want to keep our eye on it. So we've heard Governor Newsom, we've heard Oakland's Mayor Libby Schaaf, we've heard a number of people come out and say all of those workers are having, you know, the best protocols we can give them. But I think ultimately that's the concern, is you've hit the nail on the head, is that going to be contained? Are we protecting those people? Are we ensuring that the buses that are used and, you know, anyone who the baggage handlers are protected and all those kinds of things? So there's definitely lots of talk and statements and assurances that that's happening, and lots of fear that it's not.
Let me thank Emily for the call. I had asked earlier about Native Oaklanders and how they feel about the princess being docked there. And here's a listener, the Grand Princess, I should say, Nathan, who writes, as a Native Oaklander, I'm proud that our city is sheltering the ship that no one wants. People often tout their compassion, but Oakland steps up against fear when no one else will. Once again, we lead the way. And I'll lead the way into another caller. That's you, Kenneth. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, this is Kenneth from Benicia. You know, I think, you know, we're also worried about that cruise ship, but the reality is we should be a little more worried about our own communities and people around us. I mean, even just this morning at my son's school, here a mom was coming for drop-off, but she's been with 104-degree temperature for the last 4 or 5 days. Everything points that she would have the virus, but they went test her at the hospital. The doctor didn't send her to the CDC, who would be more than willing to test her. And I think a lot of us are just in denial that it's right here already.
You know, anyway, you raise an important point, Kenneth, and let me get Anita's thoughts about this. Anita Chabrier, in fact, I'm looking at a comment from or a question from a listener asking, shouldn't all staff who can work from home in all sectors be working from home? I mean, these are big questions, but as we have hesitated just about what needs to be done and what ought to be done and what can be done, we're kind of caught in many ways in a kind of limbo here.
I think that's true. I think that there's a real philosophical divide in this particular moment in time, and it, you know, history will judge us, I suppose. But on the one hand, there's this sense that, as your caller just stated, it's here. It is spreading, and we are not catching all the cases. We do not have a real sense of what the community spread is at this point. And so there's one school of thought that says, we know it's here. Let's not mess around with it. Let's shut everything down until we have a handle on what's happening so that we make sure we don't end up in a situation like Italy.
Well, but you mentioned China before and Italy. I mean, Italy has had to go into almost a full kind of containment, and China has had some results by going into containment. I mean, at first, you know, it was difficult even getting information out of China, but now they've gone overboard the other way, many say.
Well, but the other side of this is that shutting down is going to have real impacts. You know, on the economy, we're already seeing a huge slowdown. And that's not necessarily so much even about money, but it's about lives. I mean, this is, if you shut the economy down, you're really impacting especially vulnerable people, the service workers, people who live paycheck to paycheck and are going to be laid off or not make their rent or not be able to go to the doctor for other health concerns because of this.
Yeah, we're going to address that in our second hour this morning. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I just want to mention that that's going to be the focus of our second hour this morning. And I'm looking actually at a listener comment. Sarah writes, last weekend the ballet and choral workshop and choir concerts were all canceled, but I was able to see movies at the SF MoMA and ride the bus and shop in the crowded Apple Store on Union Square. I don't quite understand the point of canceling some things and not others, although I'm glad not everything is canceled. I think there's a lot of confusion on that level, isn't there, Anita?
I think there absolutely is. And, you know, short of doing what Italy did, there's no way to control that, right? We all go about our lives. We're all deciding for ourselves what we feel the risk factor is.
And we'll bring more of our callers aboard. Michael joins us from Oakland. Michael, good morning.
Good morning. So I'm quite concerned about the crew members of the vessel. All the passengers are being progressively taken off the vessel, but they're saying that the crew members are going to have to stay on board. And, you know, we learned from the news coverage, both from previous norovirus infections and also from this recent case with COVID-19 on the Japanese docked cruise ship, that cruise ships are just pestilence factories. You know, there's not really a lot of ventilation, and everyone on the ship is going to be interacting with other people on the ship, whether it's people bringing them food or you know, what are going to be the medical staff. I haven't even heard anything about how they're going to get the more medical staff and how they're going to keep them safe if they're also trapped on the ship. So,
yeah, Michael, let me go cut to the chase here and ask Anita to talk about the crew and what can – I mean, there's a good deal of concern there, understandably. Anita?
I think it's an absolutely valid and important question, and one we're going to try to find more information out about in coming days. But it's a big blind spot. We don't know what's going to happen with those crews. Likely it'll go out – the ship will go out to international waters, and then it's unclear what oversight is for that quarantine. So I think you raised some really important questions about the fate of that crew and how we can best help them with transparency.
Let me read another comment from Anna, who writes, I feel proud to be part of a community where we open our doors to others in need, like those on the Princess Cruise. I have a question, though. Now that we're starting to shut places down and cancel events, when will we stop shutting places down and canceling events until we find a cure? Don't cures take years to find and test before they can be given to humans? At this point, Anita, the answer to Anna's question, which is a question looming in many people's minds, is really uncertain.
There is only uncertainty, and I think that's one of the difficult parts. But you have seen China now come out and say that they have, you know, really drastically slowed the spread of it. So there is some kind of precedent or hope or something, some knowledge out there that there could be a wave that then goes back down. And that's really, I think, what everyone is hoping for, that if it does ramp up, we can catch enough of it that we see it go back down. And that, of course, would be the time when health officials would reassess where we're at.
But I think it's safe to say, without sounding partisan, we need transparency from essentially the Trump administration, and we're getting all kinds of strange mixed signals.
There is definitely mixed messaging. Definitely, you know, you've seen President Trump tweet about what he considers fake news and about the economic part of this. I think there is general frustration from a number of people I've spoken with about that messaging. And I, you know, you got no argument from me, then transparency is the best way to go.
Quick question from Lisa for you, Anita. How will the garbage from the Princess cruise ship, both contaminated and regular, be disposed of after it docks at the Port of Oakland?
Well, that is a fantastic question, right? Again, this is the part where the state and the federal government and the local government has said that they will handle it all, but where the details are, we just don't have yet. So we'll be watching that. We'll be looking at that. We'll be reporting on that, and we'll get you answers when we have them.
And a tweet from a listener says, I'm a longtime Oakland citizen. Let's call the Grand Princess docking in Oakland what it is. Libby Schaff is a political opportunist with a deep history of paying lip service to concern for Oakland citizens while neglecting the most vulnerable. Well, we're hearing from all sides here, and I'm glad we heard from you, Anita. Thank you for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me on.
Anita Chabrier is staff writer for the Los Angeles Times, who has been covering the spread of the novel coronavirus here in California and certainly been covering the Grand Princess. We're going to shift gears in the next half hour. We're going to talk about recession fears in the economy. Stay tuned. That's up ahead. I'm Michael Krasny.